everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we, of course, explore UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight is no different. We have a very exciting UFO show tonight. Our guest is Craig Campobasso, and he is a UFO experiencer and author. He has written a new nonfiction book, Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial, The Starseed Journals. And that's what our show is going to be about tonight. It's a very exciting story about contact with spiritually advanced extraterrestrials. But before I get into that, I've got some news for you. I've got about like 5 or 10 minutes of some very interesting UFO and related news. And of course, let's start with the planet Mars. As if you listened to the show last week or the week before, you'll know that recently puddles have apparently been discovered on Mars. Not puddles of ice, puddles of water. So this is, of course, highly significant and points towards the possibility of life on the planet Mars, which, of course, has been hotly debated ever since, you know, telescopes were invented. And so what we have here is a situation where a UFO researcher, Nick Belaskis, is, of course, like many other people, claiming that there has been a cover-up of life on Mars. And, of course, space probes and scientists have been watching seasonal color variations on the surface of Mars for years, which they suspect is due to vegetation. But apparently the 1976 Viking lander actually suppressed some of this information. And the British media apparently also broke the story that NASA's Pathfinder detected chlorophyll. And this was not, of course, reported by NASA. And there are rumors also that the Hubble Space Telescope has shown spectroscopic studies confirming these findings. So it's hard to say whether or not what is going on over there, but, you know, Mars is a very controversial planet. I do think that there's probably something going on there. I mean, there is also clouds have been detected there and the ice caps. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I think there is a cover-up of what's going on, not only on Mars and, of course, the Moon, but that's a completely different show. Let me see. What else do we got going on? UFOs over Southampton, England. England's been having a lot of activity lately. And apparently the only kind of UFO stories that are really making the news is when someone gets footage. So, of course, you know, 100% of people, practically, nobody reports their sighting. So the numbers of actual reported UFO sightings are vastly deflated as to the actual number. So there are hundreds of these things going on every day. But a recent one occurred in England over Southampton, and it was captured on videotape by Kevin Prince, who's 34 years old. He said his kids were playing outside at about 9:30 at night when they spotted a strange light. And these lights were moving in a perfectly straight line. And he was very skeptical about UFOs, but he watched this for a while, and apparently there was something about it that convinced him. I don't have a lot of the details here, unfortunately. But he did capture video footage, and one of these days someone was going to get conclusive footage of these UFOs. So, and here's an email I've got to share with you guys, because I've gotten it sent to me, I don't know, 20 times now, and it is kind of funny. So here is, it's pretty short. Many will recall that on July 8th, 1947, witnesses claimed that an unidentified object with 5 aliens aboard crashed into a sheep and cattle ranch outside Roswell, New Mexico. This is a well-known incident that has apparently been covered up by the Air Force and the federal government. However, you may not know that in the month of March 1948, exactly 9 months after that historic day, Albert Gore Jr., Hillary Rodham, John F. Kerry, William Jefferson Clinton, Howard Dean, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Charles Schumer, and Barbara Boxer were all born. So, I don't know. Don't know what to make of that. Maybe they're all aliens. I don't know. But it's very bizarre. And what else? Okay, now this is just the last little bit of news I want to give to you. I was watching CNN tonight, unfortunately, watching Paris Hilton. And I apologize for that, but I saw on the ticker tape on the bottom of the screen, I just caught the back end of it, a creature called Bigfoot. So I ended up having to watch the news for several hours until I got it again, or an hour. And apparently scientists in Michigan, there's been a lot of Bigfoot activity in the peninsula on Michigan, and scientists are now launching a study to see if they can try and locate this creature, which I think is fascinating because this Bigfoot creature is seen in every state virtually. I'm not sure if Hawaii has had any encounters, but every other state and all across the world. It's just a very, very interesting phenomena. But let's get to our show because I'm just really excited about talking to our guest tonight, Craig Campobasso. He's the author of a new book. It's called Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial, The Starseed Journals. Now, I'm sure that if you listen to this show, you do believe that people are being taken on board UFOs. And the fact is, thousands of people are reporting these onboard UFO experiences each year. However, when most people, I think about onboard UFO experiences, they think UFO abductions and examinations by bug-eyed, emotionless, gray extraterrestrials. But, you know, that is just not really a true representative sample of what's going on. The truth is, and I've interviewed a lot of people, that the ETs come in many different forms. There's not only gray-type ETs, there's reptilian. That's very rare. I get very few of those. There's a short humanoid dwarf, I guess you would call them. There's praying mantis. There's tall humanoids. And, you know, there's a surprisingly large category of human-looking ETs. Human-looking ETs, ones that look just like us. And this, of course, has profound implications for humanity. Very possibly, and I think absolutely definitely, these ETs are walking among us. And the fact is, these human-looking ETs actually, I think, raise a lot of questions about human origins and where we come from. And human-looking ETs are nothing new. They've been reported at least since the 1950s with contactees like George Adamski, Daniel Fry, Truman Bethlehem, and a number of others, Orfeo Angelucci. But the truth is, you know, people think, a lot of UFO investigators even think that the contactee phenomenon was something confined to the 1950s. But that's not true. It's continuing today. I've talked to a lot of people who have had contact with human-looking extraterrestrials that are spiritually advanced and benevolent. So that is what our show is about tonight. Our guest, Craig Campobasso, was born in Sun Valley, California, and he's worked in the film industry for more than 20 years on such high-profile films as Dune and Conan the Destroyer, and television series such as Amazing Stories and Picket Fences. He's a casting director and an acting coach, and he's also had numerous experiences with spiritually advanced extraterrestrials, which he has written about in his first book, Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial, The Starseed Journals. The book contains more than 80 color illustrations accurately presenting the appearance of the ETs, what their ships look like on both the outside and the inside, and pictures of the landscapes of their home planet and their homes. So this is a very, very exciting project. And Craig is also currently working on a screenplay based on the popular nonfiction contactee book by Frank Stranges. The book is called Stranger at the Pentagon. It's about Valiant Thor. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him, another human-looking ET. Anyway, for more information, Craig's website is www.craigcampobasso.com. That's CampoBasso. And we'll repeat that. But let's get to our guest, Craig. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Hey, Preston, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Good.
Great to talk to you again.
You too. I'm so excited to be on your show.
Oh, me too. So how things have been going?
Everything's been going good. Just finished a movie, and it was so funny when you were just talking about all the paranormal activity going on. The director of this current movie that I've just finished casting is also into UFOs, and he just sent me a photograph, I guess that was online, of one of the giant cigar-shaped craft, which I think was captured captured on film here in the U.S. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. I told them they've been photographed since the Adamski days.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of activity going on out there. I think they're gonna start letting themselves be seen a little bit more go on.
I really think that's like coming, because it seems to me there's activity in South America, you know, England, France, Canada has had a number of really significant sightings.
And the sighting, I think, that Jaime Musan down in Mexico City, what did they get? Something like 500 plus discs on camera at the same time hovering in the sky.
Right.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That's got to be, I think, one of the best verified UFO events of all time.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they're so open down there. You know, when we did Dune and Conan, we actually shot it down in Mexico City. We were down at Estudios Churubusco. And we shot both those films at the same time at the studio there. So, you know, so we were there a long time, and the people there are just they're so open to everything.
You know, I guess if it's flying over your head, I mean, what are you going to do?
I know, what are you going to do? How are you going to deny it, right?
Right, exactly. So your book, is it out already?
The book is not out yet. I've just finished it, so it is currently just getting ready to go out to publishers. And it's, you know, it's a giant book, and I'm sure they're going to cut it in half because it'll end up being a trilogy. I think there's two books there. But, but I've been working on it in between casting jobs over the past 20 years. I can't even explain it because it's, you know, when something becomes so big and is so packed with so much information, it's, you know, it has all the information everybody's been asking about.
Right.
You know, and it's not saying that it's giving you the answers, it's giving you antidotes and making you think about all, you know, everything and, you know, all the people and that kind of thing. Because you know what, this is our universe alone is a giant universe, and it's only a part of seven super universes, which goes on for, you know, infinity. And within each super universe, there's 700,000 local universes. So, and we're just one little mere local universe. And our planet is way at the edge of the universe. So.
Well, it seems like there's an awful lot of interest in our planet from various ETs.
Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of interest from all angles, because the presence of the spiritual ETs is in the upliftment of the planet into God consciousness, and that whole how their process and how that is actually being done is explained in the book. But also, you know, if they were to just land and start talking to people, you have to remember, you know, they're in their soul perfection bodies, and they vibrate at such a higher spiritual level that a lot of people would fall to their knees and try and worship them, and that's what they don't want. They, you know, they want everything on an equal basis.
Right. I think actually some people would fall unconscious because they're kind of vibrating to... I mean, people fall into delta state, I guess.
They do, yeah. They absolutely do, you know. So it's, you know, it's fascinating. And there's just, you know what, there's just so much out there. Nobody, none of us could even comprehend what is out there. But I think we're just so curious about everything. But the focus is, I think, really on this planet. And... you know, and just all of the events and everything that have happened here, because there's so many ways of thinking, and from what I understand from my contacts is out in the universe, they are all into there into the cosmic mind or the universal mind, which is just based on unconditional love. There is no religion. There is no that. There, everything is just based on love and non-judgment, which I think is actually a really good thing.
Right.
You know.
So that's what God is, basically, in the universe.
Yeah, it's unconditional love and non-judgment. So, you know, and it's amazing. When I first started meeting them, I would literally just sit and cry because their souls are so beautiful that, you know, it's the same experience. I once did a movie with Steven Seagal, and when I met him, I said to him, you know what, you're supposed to go to India and you're supposed to meet Sai Baba. And for those of you who don't know who Sai Baba is, he's a living avatar. It means he has full divine power, as Jesus had when he walked the planet. And Baba is still alive today. He's in his 70s, and he will pass, I think, at the age of 93, he said. And he said, you know what, you are like the fifth person that's told me that.
Huh.
And he did. He went and he actually spent a week there, and he was at Sai Baba's side the whole time. And even his girlfriend at the time, who is now his wife, they brought me back a beautiful pendant, and they were just, you know, she was saying, you know, God, the minute you see him, you just start sobbing because his inner beauty is so beautiful. And that's what all of these beings are, these spiritually advanced beings in out there in the universe who are doing this beautiful service to help with the upliftment of the planet that I've come in contact with, and many, many other people have been in contact with. You cry because of you can't comprehend the beauty inside of a being is that beautiful. And it's something that has to be experienced, you know?
Right. I know what you're talking about because, you know, I've had a few out-of-body experiences and met, like, I guess you would call them spiritual masters.
Yeah.
And it's a humbling but really a wonderful experience.
It's an incredible experience.
It's
really cool.
I mean, you'd live for it if you had it once. I mean, that's all you would want.
Yes, it's true.
To connect to these people.
It's absolutely true, you know.
You have to be strong.
yeah.
But it's inspiring because, I mean, these people, I mean, if they can do it, you can become that advanced as well.
You know what? And that's the whole thing, is that even the angels say that, you know, you will be greater than I. And even didn't Jesus say something similar to that when
right.
he was on the planet,
yeah.
I believe.
All these works I've done, you shall do greater.
You shall,
like
yes, exactly. And it all depends on your own belief system in that. If you believe it, you will make it happen. And then you start vibrating at a higher level and you start attracting those beautiful beings into your you know, orb of consciousness, and you start receiving information actually from them, and you'll start to maybe even have dream sequences. That's how it started for me back in my 20s. I'm 47 now. I would dream about them, but when in the dream I would be I was so uplifted that when I would wake up and I remember the dream, that I felt like I was floating. I was in such a state of nirvana. And then as time passed, I would see them in my dreams, and then I would open my eyes, and there they would be standing in my room just smiling, and I would just look at them. And then when I realized that they were real is when they start, then they would vanish and fade away. And
wow.
And then I realized that this was real.
Wow. Now, I've seen illustrations, and they're amazing. My sister-in-law, Kisara,
yes.
did a number of them. And wow, I mean, the illustrations leave me speechless. And
her illustrations, I have to tell you, Kisara did, I think there's 80 of them, and she did all but three of them. And we worked together for 2 years. And I'm going to tell you something. The day we met was at Follow Your Heart Restaurant. That should tell you, give you a wonderful clue right away.
Right.
Which is a wonderful, you know, vegan place. And I looked at her, and I just knew I had seen her on Let's Talk Paranormal, her illustrations with Barbara Lamb, and I went, oh my God, that's the person for me. And because I had just started thinking I wanted to hire an artist. And so anyway, I got her number, I called her, and we met there, and she looked at me, and she said, I'm really sorry, I may look a little spacey to you right now, she said, but I have to acclimate to your energy, because there is an extremely over 7 foot tall man with long blonde hair. He's an ET. He's really strong, but he's really sweet. And he's telling me that this book is about him, and that his name is Taryn. And I looked at her and I said, you got everything right, except for just a little pronunciation on the name. His name is Taron.
Wow.
And I went, God, you're the, and then I just knew she was it. And, you know, we would sit here and, all I'd have to do is just give her a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and she would do it, and I'd tell her the colors, and most of them, she had her own experiences with them.
Right, yeah, she was telling me.
Yeah, she did, and there's a few of them I know she's just totally enamored with. Some of the ETs who just really, spent a lot of time with her and stuff, you know. And some of those are, of course, the lead characters, which are Taron and Kyalina, who are both from the Pleiades. There's a few other characters. But, you know, I looked at, you know, there's 23 of the illustrations online for those of you who want to look at them. And this is that'll be the only place you'll be able to see them in color, because of course in the book they'll be in black and white.
And what's the website again?
You can either go to Autobiography of an ET, like an, or .com, or CraigCampobasso.com, which is, you know, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, Campobasso, C-A-M-P-O. B is in boy, A is in apple, S is in Sam, O is in ostrich.com.
Okay, CraigCampobasso.com.
Yeah. And you can also see a little section about Stranger at the Pentagon, and you can see the pictures of Commander Valiant Thor there. Actually, the photograph that I posted on the internet is from the original photograph that August Roberts, who was a retired Air Force photographer, took. That day at the Howard Menger's house, who was also having contacts, him and his wife Connie. And I did get to speak with Connie when I started writing that script, about that day. And there are a whole nother story that could be, you know, made into a movie in itself. I mean, they're just fascinating.
Well, the whole contactee story has not been really written yet.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't.
And stuff like that. But
yeah, earlier in the year, Dr. Frank and I actually did a UFO, the retro conference over at the Integratron. And there was a gentleman there from England who actually is writing the George Van Tassel story. I thought that was very exciting.
Oh, very good.
So I think, I think that would just be so fascinating. You know, I think that's great. And we're trying to tell, you know, Dr. Frank's story. You know, Dr. Frank has been going on those ships since the late 60s and has been in friendship with Val since 1960. He's known these people. And Val is a created being, which is what would be considered to be angelic or an angel. You know, he doesn't have a belly button. They're created at age 18 by the Godhead. And then they grow to look about 30, and they stay like that forever.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Those photographs that you actually see that were taken, that you can see in the my website, of him and Dawn, Vice Commander Dawn, those photographs, they look exactly the same to this day, Dr. Frank says.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I find it just, it's absolutely fascinating. Can you imagine to be, you know, I often wonder because, you know, when I was writing the script and my book, you know, what they do is they transfer their feeling body to your feeling body, and you actually go through the experience of what they went through, of what you're writing about, so you get the full sensory perception of it, which is a beautiful experience in itself. And sometimes you just have to stop, and you just start to weep because it was either, you know, something, you know, you would say to yourself, how would an angel go through trauma?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
An angel who has full 100% working capability of their brain, where we don't what do we have, 33 and a third? Isn't that what they say? That our brains work at. All their brain functions at 100%. And but the thing is that what, you know, they transferred to me is that they see the atrocities of the world on a daily basis because of their advanced technologies and monitoring systems. And for them to see the children, just everything that goes on, and the way that people treat people because they don't do that on their where they come from, you know, in killings and suicide bombings and that kind of stuff, that's what tears their hearts out. And so if we see it, and if you amplify it by a, you know, I couldn't even tell you if you amplified it, but their feeling body is much on a higher vibratory level than our feeling body.
Okay.
So in other words, they're feeling it almost like a hundredfold is what I want to say to you. You know, so
you're not even experiencing it. And
yes, exactly. It's
like they are apparently, but
right, right. You know, they are. They're actually. I think they are actually going through the actual experience on both levels of the person who's committing the crime and the person and the victim.
Yeah, I think on some level all of us do because, you know, we're all one and the media is portraying these images and everyone's seeing them at the same time. We're all thinking the same thought. And, of course, as you know, thoughts are the most powerful things.
Yes, they are.
So.
Thoughts are the most powerful thing. I mean, it's... I often wondered, you know, I don't watch the news just for that very reason. I never have, nor do I read the newspaper. But I... because I don't like those images, you know, to affect me.
News, actually. It's propaganda, most of it, I think.
But I think if everyone every morning took 7 minutes out to meditate, even if you don't know how to meditate, just sit and be still and say a little prayer or whatever and just imagine the earth in your mind and surround that globe with love. And just say that I love you and send you love, Mother Earth. That's, if everyone on the globe would just do that, you know, the power of that thought would literally lift a lot of the heavy thoughts that these, you know, people, you know, the thing that really bothers me is the suicide bombers. You know what I mean? Because that never happened before, you know, because somebody told them they're going to be receiving something wonderful when they get to the other side. Well, surprise, when they get there, that's not what's happening. You know, they're going to a place where, you know, on the other side, they're going to a like-mind place where they're going to live out that karma, you know, until they can get themselves out of there and then back into, you know, proper thinking and then back into a reincarnation cycle until they work through it.
Wow.
You know.
Well, why do you suppose there's so much... why is the world so volatile right now? I mean, what kind of change are we going through? I hear so much about the Earth going to the fourth dimension or the Earth awakening and all of... You know what I mean?
You know, I look back, you know, in just looking over history, and I've been lucky in the sense that, you know, Dr. Frank is on board the ships. They have a machine called the History Coin Machine, and they have actual recorded history recorded on these little small coins that look like a half-size silver dollar. And you put it in the machine, and you can actually watch the events that took place in somebody like Jesus's life or Moses or Albert Einstein, or you could go to any phase or place on Earth. And actually there was a land way before Adam and Eve, which they called the land of Quello. And, you know, that had, it ended up going through an uprise and going through, you know, where it divided and then, you know, and then they fought against each other and the whole thing. And they were absolutely beautiful, you know, beautiful beings. And then it just seems like this Earth has had this sort of karma from the beginning where it just goes, and then you go through the whole history with the Jewish people, and you say, how can somebody hate a people that much to do what a Hitler did? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, where does that hate come from? Do you know? I don't understand it. I know a lot of people on the Earth have a problem understanding it, but...
Well, perhaps that's why we're going here, is to learn all this stuff.
Yeah, well, I do know that this planet in itself is a training station for souls. It's a school, and what we are here doing is we are mastering our emotions and our feelings. You know, how they explain it to me is that feeling is something that preceded thought, because feeling was something, you know, that the creation felt and understood and wanted to express, which brought forth the expression of itself, or the I am, you know, and then it continued on from there until it expressed itself. And they have a whole pyramid of thought that they gave me that goes through the book of you know, just the simplistic terms of how the creation began way back when and how it was done. What were we saying right before that, Preston? I went and got off track.
I don't know.
I'm just
listening, fascinated.
I know. Well, I was just thinking, well, I mean, I'll just stay on this pyramid of thought. I mean, you basically have
the history coin is what you were talking about.
What's that?
Them showing you the history with this coin?
Oh, with the coin. That's right. But what I'm saying is, yeah, as we were going back to the beginning, and Dr. Frank had explained, you know, to me a little bit about the land of Quello, which was the first land, and how all of everything happened, which I guess sort of set it all up. And but we're all in a school, and we're in a diverse school, and the universe is even more diverse than the colors of our skin on this planet. You know, up there they have, you know, every color of the rainbow. They have light tinted skin. They have, I mean, there's people who have polka dot skin. They have,
no way, really?
All different kinds of skin. Like, you cannot even believe.
That's one of the things that's always baffled me. It's just the sheer variety of ETs. That's one of the things that, I mean, just blows my mind. It's almost like Star Trek.
There is. And, you know, and mind you, you know, they were putting those thoughts way back in Gene Roddenberry's head, like they've been putting them in mine this whole time. I mean, wait till you see the technology and stuff that, you know, they downloaded into my mind.
Right.
I don't understand how it works, but I can tell you what it looks like and what it does.
Right. I feel the influence. Too. I think a lot of people are being influenced by ETs unknowingly. You know, I want contact. And contact.
But that's the thing is, you know, the contact thing will come later. You know, right now it's just about everyone getting their consciousness, you know, getting up to speed and their consciousness and their spirituality together, and and working for the betterment of everyone around them in their orb of consciousness, you know?
Right.
So that's what I think is, you know, is happening. But there's just so much, and they, you know, it's fascinating. Sometimes I'll just be, you know, I can, sometimes I'll just hear them pop things in my head, you know, even if I'm casting a movie or if I'm doing something, or sometimes they'll even give me a message for someone, you know, and I don't even know the person.
Oh, wow.
You know, which is a nice, sweet message, and I'll give it to the person, and they'll start crying.
Right. You know, another guy told me the same thing, and he's in contact with gray-type ETs. But
yeah.
But they're talking to him, and they give him messages for other people. He'll see, like, lights over their head. And
he
feels compelled to walk up to them. And it just happened that he walked up to this lady. He's like, you have to go home now and visit your husband. He doesn't know why he's saying this, of course. This is just what they're telling him to say. A
right.
chorus of voices. And so he says this to her. And she goes, and she's like, looks at him, and she leaves. And a year or two later, she sees him again in the grocery store, and she comes running up to him. She says, you're the gentleman who told me that message. Well, I have to tell you that I went home, like you said, and I spent a wonderful evening with my husband, and he died that night.
Oh, my God, that's
and
amazing.
She wouldn't have gotten to spend any time with him if she hadn't gone home, because she had, you know, another evening planned.
You know, that's amazing. My godmother, she had cancer back in 92, and my godfather died in 2002. And my godfather died in 2003. His name was Gabriel, and
wow.
her name is Mercy. And they both, and she was still alive in 2002. She had beat the cancer, but then they both came to me in a dream, and he said to me, your Nana, I always called her Nana, your Nana is going to come back, and she's going to be with me in 1 year's time, and we're telling you now so you can spend as much time with her as you can.
Oh, wow.
And I'll never forget that. And I wrote it all down, and I spent a lot of time, and her cancer resurfaced a year later, and exactly a year later, and she passed and is with him. And I say, and she comes to me in my dreams. You know, I just saw her in a dream the other night. So, and she's extremely happy to be there with him. So,
right. Well, you can't be too sad for people who have died, because honestly, it's so much nicer over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It really, really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like, what did Sylvia Brown say? This is hell, that's heaven.
Right. It's definitely a little bit harder here.
Yes, yes, it is. It is.
You know, the challenge, following the challenge.
It absolutely is. So, but, you know, if anybody is interested, too, I did put a couple of sample chapters on the website. If you'd like to read them, you can go to the About Book section and read a little bit about it there. And then at the very bottom of the page, there's a link you can click on, and it'll open up a PDF file where you can read a couple sample chapters. And there's also a link if you want to contact me, to contact you when the book is ready. So, you know, but it is, I get emails. I've been getting emails from people now. The website's only been up about a month and a half, and I've been getting emails from people all around the world, just, you know, pouring their hearts out about, you know, that they, they've had experiences too, and you know, they can't, you know, and when they see the artwork, they are so drawn to the beings, they say they feel that they know them. You know, I remember a few people who had first seen the artwork, they literally had tears in their eyes because they said, these are the people from home.
Right. Oh, the words don't even express it. I felt that same way, and they're just so extraordinarily beautiful, and Kisara really captured the spirituality and sort of the, I don't even know the words for it, just the advanced
she did. And she really did. I mean, I was so lucky. You know, I knew the universe just put it right in my path. And, you know.
And what's also good is she helped confirm your experiences. I mean, you're not the only witness to these ETs.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I've actually, you know, there's been, I've had a few other friends over the years who have actually had the same experiences too, you know, where they've appeared, you know, that kind of thing, and they've seen it. And, yeah, she was seeing it. She was seeing it too. And sometimes I would just say, okay, well, they look, you know, she goes, oh, no, she's here. I see her. And I said, okay, just draw her and then show her to me. And I look at her and I go, wow, you did good.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. Right. It's just amazing. Yeah, she's just, she's so plugged into that world, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, she's had experiences. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Craig Campobasso. We're talking about his upcoming book, Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial, The Starseed Journals. And you can visit his website at www.craigcampobasso.com, which is CraigCampobasso. Now, Craig, how many times, I mean, this, I just don't even know where to begin. how many times would you say you've, how many different ETs would you have seen, and how many times have you had contact? And is it?
Well, I've had countless, I mean, countless, like, contact, because the contact now is just, you know, basically telepathic, or the transfer of feelings and thoughts, and right. That kind of stuff. And then sometimes I'll know if somebody's in the room, or they'll pop in, or that kind of thing. But
so it started with, like, dreams?
It started, yeah, and it started way back when. And then it, but then that's when it was very, very heavy in the beginning. It was almost nightly, until I really came to the comprehension that this was real. And then, you know what, I would, I have to tell you, I would be at parties, and a psychic would walk up to me and say, you're seeing ETs, and they're real. I mean, they would come up to me and say stuff, you know, and not like one, but it would happen over a course of a couple of months where they would come up, you know, they would seek me out and say, you're really going on those ships. You're not dreaming that.
Wow.
You know, because I would have these, you know, remembrances of going up and being on a ship and seeing how everything worked and
the
whole thing.
What did the ships look like?
Yeah, and then it woke up my childhood memories of actually being on ships and seeing, you know, what was going on, and, you know, because they start teaching you from a very, very young age so that you get used to them. That's why I never feared them, you know. And the races, you know what, they're all from, so it's like us here being a hodgepodge of different ethnicities and races. There, you know, there's different planetary races and things, but they're all one, you know. They're all a part of this whole big, beautiful family. So, you know, people could have lineages of, I mean, imagine the mixing of colors there if somebody, you know, blue and green got together. They'd have yellow children, right?
Right.
Was that blue and green, yellow? Was that it?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember my chart when I was a kid. But
so is it mostly the Pleiadians that you're in contact
with? The Pleiadians, yes, and but not, you know, not all of them are Pleiadian. You know, some of them are from, you know, different worlds. One race, which are called the Maramayams, they're from the very first super universe, from a world called Marama, and they are ultra terrestrials. They're not even extraterrestrials. They're so advanced and they're so beautiful. When people actually read the book and see who they are, like the guy who I had hired to edit the book, he came back and he just looked at me and he goes, oh my God. He said, that whole, all those Maramayams, he said, that was the most awesome thing I ever read. He said, it made me cry because it's just so awesome how they exist and how what they do and how their you know their integration into the Godhead and you know what, and I have to tell you that this book is actually written for the layperson too, by the way.
Oh, good.
Because I'm a layperson, and I said if you give it to me complex, I ain't gonna get it, and they're not gonna get it. So. You know, so it's all done in very simplistic terms and terminology. So, you know, and when you know, and you can see their portrait in the actually in the book artwork section too. So, and those were the Maramayams were painted by Kim Black, who's a wonderful artist up in. San Mateo. He lives up there. And by the way, if anybody wants to see any more of like Kassara's art, you can go to kassaraart.com. And it's K-E-S-A-R-A art.com. And if you want to see more of Kim's work, you can go to Kim. And it's a guy, by the way, Kim. E, middle initial E, Black, B-L-A-C-K.com. And you can see all their other artwork and cool things there, too.
Cool.
So, I mean, I just can't thank them enough. I mean, because it's fantastic. I mean, you know, so I had sat back, like I said, a couple of weeks ago and looked at all that artwork again from a different perspective and went, oh, my God.
I mean, you could just spend 100 pages trying to describe one room. Or
I know, going, wow, that's cool.
So tell us what the inside of the ships look like.
Well, you know, they're all very simplistic. You know, all the walls actually they're made of a metal, and there's different types of ships. The organic ships are the ones that are pretty much alive,
right.
Meaning that. Like Tehran's ship, for instance, his ship is called the Oval Opal. It looks like a big, giant opal stone is what it looks like. His actual ship is one of those ships, and they have his actual cells from his body are a part of that ship. So it is his thoughts that actually power that ship and anywhere it wants to go.
Wow.
Nobody else can actually drive his ship. There is he'll have an attendant, which is his right arm guy, who can power and fly the ship, but he can't get it out of the solar system, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, if like something were to happen to the ship, like let's say if it, not that it would, but if you know something happened. It would actually die and decay within seconds so that no other world could steal the technology or try and figure it out.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just the simplistic terms of some of the ships. And then but they're all very beautiful and sleek looking. And the thing that's the coolest is that the metal can actually vibrate to clear, and you could be out in the middle of the universe and be standing on top of a star and look down and look out, and it's like you're standing out there in the stars.
Like Wonder Woman's plane.
Right, exactly, exactly.
You know,
exactly, yeah.
I've heard of that before. You know, Daniel Fry said that, and a guy I just interviewed, he was taken on board a UFO by, get this, 15-foot-tall, praying mantis ETs, who showed him the universe in a major way. He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God.
But he said the side of the ship would turn transparent, and he saw all sorts of stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to listen to that show, because back in my 20s when I was seeing all these beings, I saw a giant praying mantis. I was astral traveling, and I saw a giant one, and I never knew what it meant. You know, but and then recently at one of the seminars, a girl came up to me and said, you know, my brother and I, when we were little, we saw a ship go overhead, but we thought we were crazy because the bottom of the ship, you could actually see up and see the people walking around. It was clear.
Wow.
And I said, no. I said, that's the technology of the ships. Did you know that? And she was like, no, you mean... And I said, yeah. I said, that's exactly what they can do that. And
wow.
She was so thrilled that it had an explanation, you know, for her and her brother. So, hey, and by the way, you know who Dr. Frank and I were in Sedona, and we went to go visit Virgil Armstrong. Do you remember him?
Oh, sure. He's like the astronaut guy, right?
Yeah, and Virgil, I think, you know what, I haven't read his book in years. He's now about 84 and had a little stroke, but he's doing good. But I think he was a part of the White Sands. I think he was one of the people that walked onto one of the ships and actually saw the ET bodies there, the live ones and the dead ones. It was the one that either happened before Roswell or right after Roswell. I can't remember.
I heard him speak once a long time ago, yeah.
It was a long time ago, and I can't really remember, so, you know, don't quote me, but I have to reread his book. But, yeah, we were there, and we had an opportunity to go see him, so we went to visit him, and he was just thrilled to have company. So he's still around.
Wow.
You know, and would love to get out there, you know. He wants to still get out there on the circuit. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, I'm telling you, this subject is going to explode just as soon as, I mean, just real soon.
Yeah, I
know,
think so.
If it's going to come from the government or the people or the aliens, but one of these groups.
Yeah, you know what? It's gonna happen, and it's gonna happen in a perfect way. You know what I mean? Where there won't be any fear or that kind of stuff. But yes, are there negative races? Of course there are.
Right.
You know,
and too.
By the way, you know, Dr. Frank says that Val has told him, you know, the ones that are doing the abducting, the bad grays, because there are good grays too. You know, the bad grays, they don't come from another planet. You know where they come from? The inner Earth.
I was going to say that.
That's where they live. He said there are seven races that live on the inner Earth. I think three are negative and four are positive.
Good Lord.
Yes.
And I thought the reptilians came from there. Well, the grays seem to be nocturnal.
Yeah.
They come from below ground. I mean, look at their skin and their eyes.
Yes, exactly. 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 They kind of look like the animals that live underground, don't they?
I had a dream that they were actually damaged genetically from the nuclear war.
Really?
It came through in a dream really powerfully, and they showed me the whole progression of how they lost all their facial features and got their eyes became big and their hair. It's all genetic damage is what it is.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was what the dream came across.
Yeah. And you know what? Then... You know, you're picking that up from somewhere.
Right.
You know, when you have those dreams.
All right. Well, this whole ET thing is a big part of my life, so I can feel the energy a lot.
That's right. Yeah, you're hooked in. You're definitely hooked in.
All right. Well, Craig, we have, like, just 1 or 2 minutes. Gosh, I can't believe the hour's gone by.
It goes by so fast.
So, Craig Campobasso, what do you want to leave our listeners with?
I think, you know what, I'll leave everyone with the message that is most prevalent from all of our sweet extraterrestrial friends who are all here for the changeover of the world to go into the better, is to just take each day simply and a day at a time, and to just do a little tiny, even just a little 7-minute meditation in the morning, like I said earlier, and just send love out everywhere. Don't take things too seriously, and to really work on yourself spiritually, because as you grow spiritually, those around you in your orb of consciousness will actually see it and will actually grow with you, and that will expand out into the world. And once everyone starts thinking of a like mind, that we won't have any more crazy suicide bombers or people wanting to commit suicide or do harm to other people or whatever, because everyone will see everyone from the basis of the inner one, that everyone is the same. We are each other, and that if you harm another, you're actually harming yourself. And if you love one another, you're actually loving yourself. So, you know, that really is their message.
Wow.
You know, and I think it's a really beautiful, powerful one. And if everyone can do that, it'll be, we can get the world back to the place that it needs to be.
And we're going to do it.
We are. We absolutely are, and it's on its way.
Very exciting time to live.
It is an exciting time to live.
Well, thanks, Craig, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Pat.
It's been a lot of fun. We'll have to have you back on again.
I would love it.
When your book comes out, and I'll get a copy and read it, and then we'll go from there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Preston.
Thank you. Well, everyone, that's our show tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. Our guest tonight has been Craig Campobasso, author and experiencer. He wrote a book called Autobiography of an Extraterrestrial, the Starseed Journals, which is coming out shortly. And what we've heard tonight is any representative sample. Boy, we're in for a treat. So I can't wait. But thank you all for listening. I hope you can join us next week. I am still looking for a guest. I have a couple of really interesting people in mind, and I have an upcoming guest, as I said, of someone who had contact with 15-foot tall praying mantises. So keep on listening, and have a great evening.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our